As usual, I have an outline this morning that I'd like us to look at as we study an important concept and a parable. The last time I spoke, we looked at a parable, the parable of the sower. And we saw that in that great parable, it was really about hearing the word of God, and then applying it in our lives. And if you remember, in that great parable that we looked at, we saw that the amount that we hear, if we hear, that amount will increase. God will give us more. But if we refuse to hear what God has got to say to us, we discovered and we saw in that parable that what little bit we have will be taken away from us. Now, I think it's interesting that this parable I'd like us to look at this morning, it's really the parable of the eye, but as you can see, as I usually do, I've got more information here than we'll have time to cover. So what I'd like us to do is just to think about this concept this morning, about our eye and it being the lamp of the body. Now, if I were to ask you of the five senses that you have, which one is the most valuable to you? If you could give up any one of the senses that you have, which one would you be willing to give up? I know most of us would be willing to give up our sense of smell, maybe give up taste, maybe touch, but what would we not want to lose? We don't want to lose our hearing, do we? But guess what? One of the problems is, as you get older, you hear less because you can't hear as good. But you know what? I think the one thing that we would probably cherish the most is our ability to see. I think seeing, for me, would be more important than hearing, feeling, tasting, touching, and so forth. That's the one that's most important. And I think it's interesting that when we look at this concept, we see that the light of our body is what? It's the eye. And we'll get into that. I'd like to kind of set the stage for what we're going to be looking at. And first of all, I'd like us to look at, and you can see on this outline, we won't read all these passages before we start, but we'll read them as we go along. But there's four different types of light that we see very clearly in Scripture. The first light I think we need to consider is the Father of lights. It says in the top left-hand column there is where these four lights are mentioned. And James chapter 1 and verse 17 says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." We all have shadows in our light, and everywhere you look, you can just look around in this room. I can, from here, I can see shadows on different sides of people, depending on where you're sitting at under the light. With us, there's all kinds of shadows of turning, isn't it? But how about with God? With Him, there is no shadow, no matter which direction you look at Him at. You can look from the north, the south, the east, the west, you name it. Whatever direction you want to go, when you look at God, what do you see? The Father of lights, He is a bright light. You know, it's interesting in this verse that we just read here, it says there, He is the Father of lights. Now, when you take that expression there, Father of lights, what does that mean to you? If He's a Father of lights, it'd be kind of like using the expression Father of children. The implication is, if He's the Father of lights, then there must be some children of lights, right? And we'll see this very clearly as we look at these different passages that he is the perfect light, God is. No shadow, you can't find any fault any way you look at him. But look at the second light that I think we see very clearly as we look through the scripture. And I know you could find many other verses that deals with this particular subject, but I just put the ones on this page that comes to my mind. Christ is the light of the world. And you remember he said that on several occasions. Listen to what it says there in John 1:4, where it records why he came into this world. We know he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. But listen to what it says there in John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. That was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. Isn't that amazing? He is the light of men. And when we have that bright light, and he's shining on us, and we become children of light, we can see where we're going, can't we? And we'll see that pointed out in several different verses that we'll be looking at this morning. But it says here, he gives light to every man who comes into the world. That means little babies have got light, don't they? They've got light in their eyes. They can see the brightness, and it doesn't take long for them to discover what is right and wrong. And it doesn't take long, by the time they're a couple of years old, they'll be taking cookies from the cookie jar when you tell them not to. And they'll be doing all kinds of things like that. I remember one night we were having dinner, and when Lauren and Wayne were little, and Karen had a table served with all the food on it, and there was a plate with some freshly baked cookies. And Wayne reached over after the prayer and took a cookie off the plate, started eating the cookie. And Lauren said, "Mama, is it proper to eat the cookies, the desserts first, or should you eat your meal first?" And Wayne's response was, "Be quiet and eat your supper." But we've all got the light, whether we're little kids or we're bigger, right? And we'll see the purpose of light as we go on into this particular thought pattern here. But look at what Jesus said there in John 8:12. And you'll see a progression here. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world.'" Who is the light of the world? I know we saw just recently the Billy Graham funeral on television. I saw a Billy Graham crusade message last night on television. And what an incredible message he preached. And it was in 1981. But here's the point. Jesus said there, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Many of you probably could go back if we were to open it up for testimony time. You could probably tell some interesting stories about when you were walking in the darkness and you were not following the light and you had not come to the light. I could tell you some stories that make your hair fall out. But look at what John, what he says here in John. Some of you got it. And some of you didn't get it. Look at John 9:5 there. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, there's different concepts when you think about this particular thought. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, had there ever been a brighter light in Palestine and the different surrounding countries that he went to when he was here on earth? For those approximately 33 years. He was a bright light, right? And everybody except the religious leaders wanted to come to that light. I think it was amazing. But here's the point I'm trying to make in this particular verse. As long as I am in the world, I am the light. In other words, I'm the light that everybody can see physically. But what was going to happen to that light? Look what it says there in John 12:35. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer the light is with you. While you are have the light, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light.' These things Jesus spoke and departed, and he hid himself from the people, and they couldn't see him." And you know that if you were to go to John chapter 12 and continue the thought process in that chapter, he talks about the ones who were walking in darkness because they thought they knew the truth. But they were really the ones that were walking in darkness, weren't they? It was the poor, the needy, the blind, the crippled, the ones who had all of these needs. They were the ones that was willing to come to the light. Okay? But he says, while you have the light, believe in the light. Believe in the light. And the light of the world is Jesus, isn't it? What's the concept he's pointing out there? John tells us very clearly in his gospel that the reason he wrote those things in the gospel of John is that we might believe. And here he's telling us in this passage here that God wants everybody to believe in that true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to come to him. To come to him, and you'll become a son of the light. And we'll see some problems for the sons of light. But here's the next point I want us to think about. Him being the light. What happened when he left this earth? Who was the lights? Now, I know that you could get into some arguments over this concept. In some of the different commentators I read, they shared all the disagreements and so forth. But who is the lights today? Now, I know that Jesus and God is still the Father of light and the light of the world from heaven. But who is the light that people in our neighborhoods and in the city of Reedsville and the people at work, who are the lights that people actually see? Christ in us, right? We're the lights. Have you ever thought about that? You know, I think you see this. I remember hearing a story of a lady up in Michigan. She was telling us how that when she was a teenager, she got in the back of a pickup truck, and there was several young people in the back of that pickup truck, and they drove to Texas to hear Billy Graham, and they had a big evangelistic meeting there, and each one of them in that Coliseum took a light and lit that light. And they said it lit up. You could see that light all over the city. That's incredible, isn't it? That's what we to do. I mean, when we have our one light individually, it's not all that bright, is it? But when we come together, we ought to be a bright light, right? But let's go on in this. Jesus said as long as he was in the light, he was the light of the world. Now, Jeff has been going through the Beatitudes lately. And it's interesting that when you get through that concept of those attitudes that the believer should have, what does the Lord do then? He gives two beautiful illustrations of what will be the result when we have the right attitudes in life. We'll be salt and we'll be light. And that's where you see here, look at Matthew 5:14 there, point number three. The believer is the light of the world today. The physical light that you can see. Okay, and there's a lot of different ways to look at that, but look at what it says. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow. We're the light. And what is one of the things that we do that causes us to shine as a bright light. He says it right here. Your good works. It's the good things that we do that causes us to stand out among other people, isn't it? Now, all you have to do is two or three bad things, really bad things, and will people come to you when they have questions and when they want to know answers to important struggles in their life? It's incredible, isn't it? You know, I think about a bright light sitting over in this corner, in the far corner. I don't know why he's in the corner. He ought to be right here in the middle. Todd. What an incredible light that guy is at Rockingham. He was such a bright light for our son Wayne when he was there. This guy would play ping pong with Wayne every day at lunchtime. He was just an incredible light, and all the other students saw it. And they knew that they could come to this light and ask questions. He would accept you. He would talk to you and so forth. But you see, we are lights in the world today, aren't we? And it's our good works that you see is what causes people to come and say there's something different about you. And that's a whole different topic. We could take it much further. And there's so many passages that deal with that. But look at what it says there in Ephesians 5:8. It says, for you were once the darkness, but now you are light in the world. You're light in the world. How should you walk? As a child of light, right? That's what Paul says there in Ephesians 5:8. Walk as children of the light. Because our Father of lights, and now that we're one of those lights, we should walk as one of his children, right? Exposing and being a bright light. That's what we want, isn't it? I can remember back in the 90s, I can't tell you exact time, but I remember one time Wayne and Ray were out fishing at the city lake out in the back of our house. And, of course, Wayne had been fishing there so many times, he had the path there, and he had little ribbons on the path and so forth, and he had a flashlight. But here's the problem. That night, there was no moon, okay? And they got ready. It was about 10 o'clock. They were ready to come in, and guess what didn't work? The flashlight didn't work. The flashlight didn't work. And what were they looking for? They were children of light, but they were walking in darkness. Now, they were praying that one of them, the light bulb and the other one, would come on and be able to provide light for them to get back to the house. And Karen told me, she said, well, it's about 10 o'clock. The boys should be in by now. So I took my big spotlight out and went out and started yelling, hey, guys. And I knew exactly where I was going because I had a bright light. And those two guys, I could hear them. And they said all they could hear was traffic on the highway. They had no idea which way they were going because they couldn't see anything. It was so dark. But once they saw my bright light shining, they were able to come to the light. And you know what I got when those two boys came to me? I got the biggest hug I'd ever received because they had come to my light. It was a portable light, right? But you get the point. When somebody shows you the way you should be walking in life, what do they become to you? They become a good friend, don't they? You look to that person. You respect that person. And that's what you are. And listen to what he says there again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You used to walk in darkness, but now what do you want to do? You want to walk like a children of light. And listen to what he says in verse 11 there. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now think about the unfruitful works of darkness. There's a lot of it, isn't it? A lot of darkness. Why do they call nightclubs nightclubs? Because there's a lot of darkness going on inside of those clubs, isn't it? And you notice they don't keep the windows open, do they? They keep the windows shut, the doors shut. There's no glasses, so anybody can walk around the building and look in and see what's going on. You know, Las Vegas has a motto, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. That is the biggest lie. What's going to happen? And we'll see right now in a few moments, it'll all be exposed. It'll all be exposed. But here he says, walk as children of the light, your Father, and his Son, the Lord Jesus. You be a light the way the Lord Jesus was a light. Now, you won't be as bright as he was, but you'll be a light. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Have you ever noticed this right here? About you can go in, maybe you've seen this at work. Maybe you've seen it different places where somebody's conversation is not fruitful. It's unfruitful, right? And when you walk in the room, what happens? If you see the conversation shut down, then you're being a light. But if they continue just though he's no better than I am, she's just as bad as I am, right? There's no difference, right? And if there's no difference, then you're not a bright light. He says here in verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifestly by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. In other words, if these things come out, if they're exposed, then it says here, you're really a child of light, aren't you? You're really a bright light. And you know what? I've noticed this just recently with this Billy Graham funeral. Now, this is debatable, but we won't debate it right now. But look at the people that was sitting in the audience at that funeral. I think there were a lot of people there that was walking in darkness, and they're being controlled by darkness. But what happened that day of the funeral? They saw a bright light, didn't they? They heard all of these testimonies about how lives had been changed. And that's what we want, isn't it? That's what God wants. God wants us to be the light that we can shine no matter where we go. Now, here's the point I want us to get at in the next one. The eye is the lamp of the body. And you'll find that this same situation, this same concept is found in the Sermon on the Mount. But look here in Luke's account. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. And when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light, that's what it will be like. In other words, how does your body get light on the inside? Well, I know if you've been to our house, you know that in the basement, I can close off a couple of doors and there's no light whatsoever, no windows at all. And if you ever sleep in that bedroom downstairs, it is pitch dark. Okay? But all it takes is one little candle. One little light can come in that room in that pitch darkness. And what happens to the whole room? All of a sudden, you can see everything. It's incredible. And that lamp that's going to light up your body is that eyeball. Now, we've got volume controls back there on the back wall, don't we? And what do those controls do? They control the intensity of these lights, don't they? Some of them we can turn on and off, but some of them we can control the brilliancy. Like, for example, if we're having a wedding or something here in this room, what do? The lights. We turn the lights down because who do we want to be seen? We want that beautiful bride when she comes in the room, right? We want everybody for the focus to be on her, not on on what I'm looking at in my hands. It's the same principle, isn't it? It's your eyeball that causes a light on the inside of your mind, your will, your emotions, everything about you. It's controlled by these old eyeballs. And you can look at the same point, and there's two things that really will affect that. And we'll get into it the next section here. That's hearing. Hearing affects what kind of a lamp you really are. But here he says, this little eyeball is the light of your body. Now, what happens if you put blinders on? Any of you wear blinders when you sleep at night? I've got a friend that he does that because he wears blinders at night. And when he gets up, he's got him a little hunter's lamp, hat rather, that's got a lamp on the top of it. And he takes it and he puts it on his head. And it's just enough light that he can get up and go to the bathroom or do whatever he needs to do. And then he goes back and lays down in bed and lays his hat down and it goes off. Right? He's waking up and he doesn't have any light. What do we want on the inside? How many times have you ever heard this expression, aha? When you hear the aha, what does that mean? The light just came on, right? I see it, said the blind man. I can't tell you the number of times I use that expression when I'm talking to people and they share something with me and I don't see it. And I'll use that expression all the time. I see, said the blind man. And they laugh every time. And the point is, I get it, right? That's what our eyes do for us. Now, if that light going, if your eye is burning bright, and you've got the right things going into your mind, and by the way, do we want it just to get to our mind, right? Where do we want it to end up at? About a foot lower, down in our hearts. We want that light to get in and so that we are a bright light. We are a bright light, and we want that. You know, I saw this, I cried when I heard this in Tennessee the last time we were there. We went to one of these dinners, Wayne and Hillary, they put on a dinner for one of the English classes they're teaching. And one lady, once she found out that Karen and I were his parents, they just, you've never seen such a hug. She said, when we left Africa, she said, the people told us you don't want to go to America. Those people hate you. They won't listen to you. They won't have anything to do with you. But she said, but look at him. He loves us. He's having a dinner for us. I've got goosebumps on me right now just thinking about it. And I'm about to cry. But that's it, isn't it? That's that bright light. And when the eye is focused on the right things, what will be the result? You know, you can tell what people are watching because it's going to be reflected in their action, isn't it? And what's going to control the actions? It's what's going in through the eyes and the ears. And once it gets in there, it needs to be some light put on it, doesn't it? You know, it's interesting, that passage we were looking at the worship meeting this morning in Romans 8. You'll see there in Romans 7, the preceding chapter, verse 7 through the remainder of the chapter, you'll see the words me, my, I 27 times. And you read that passage, you'll see the struggle that Paul was having, saying, the things I want to do, well, that's the very thing I don't do. The things I don't want to do, that's the thing I do. Right? Why? It's because of the darkness that's within the heart. And that darkness in the human heart needs to have the proper light. Look, I've got a verse here on the outline. Listen to what it says in Psalm 119, verse 105. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, how does the Word of God get inside of us? By seeing, right? There's another way it can get inside of us, by hearing. That's what the other parable was all about, wasn't it? Is hearing the word of God. And when we hear it, I've heard it said that when you hear something, you retain about 15% of what you hear. But if you hear it and see it, that number jumps up, I think it's 60-70%. But if you hear it, see it, speak it, and apply it, it jumps up in the high 90s. That's the secret, isn't it? To be a bright light, you need to have it to hear it. You need to be able to see it and let this old eyeball become a bright light to our body on the inside itself. And then when we share it with other people, guess what? All of a sudden it becomes a part of us. It becomes a part of us. And you know what? We need light everywhere we go, don't we? You know, on the on the right-hand column at the very bottom, I've got six different types of light. And I wish I had time to cover all of these. There's a reflective light. That's the sun and the moon, right? Does the moon have a light? All it does is reflect the sun, right? What are you and I supposed to do? We reflect the light that's been given to us, right? And you know what? What happened to Moses when he came down from the mountain? His face just shone because he'd been with God. The next one is a corrective light, or connective light, rather. That's a flashlight with batteries in it. And you want the batteries to be good, right? Who do we connect to get our batteries, as it were, recharged on a daily basis? Every day we need to be in the Word. We need to be connected and abiding in Christ. And that's how we'll have that connective battery. Sometimes there's a warning light. And of course, if you go out to the east coast of North Carolina, you'll see lighthouses. And why is the coast of North Carolina called the graveyard of the Atlantic? Because so many ships were coming in and they didn't have the light they needed to come safely into harbor. But there's a directional light, upper and lower lights. And if you ever go out to sea on a ship, you'll find that there will be lights that will, you just line them up and you can go straight into port and it'll take you all the safe route to go. And you won't hit any rocks on the way. And then there's a living light. Wish we had time to look at this. And that's a lamp that's got oil, wick, and a fire, right? That's a living light. And we have a living light in us, right? The Holy Spirit. And then there's a written light, the Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We need to see where we're going, right? To be able to look down and see our feet, and we need that path lightened so we can tell exactly where we're going in life. But look over here in the center column. I want us to think about this, the responsibilities of the believer to be a light. We have a responsibility to be a bright light. We used to be in darkness, but aren't you thankful that we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? Now listen to what it says here. Here's the reasons people won't come to the light. And you probably, a name comes to your mind when you read this right here. Look at what it says in John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. If people are doing something that's wrong, they don't want to be, they don't do it out in the bright lights, do they? You know, I can't tell you the number of people I've had come to me and tell me that they've got a problem with looking at the wrong things in magazines or on the computer. And you know what? I never really put two and two together, but I could see it in their lives. You know, when they were looking at the right things, doing the right things, they were up here. And they didn't mind being around people and talking and so forth. But when they were down in the valley doing things they knew they shouldn't be doing, guess what? They don't want to be around anybody that's going to ask them any questions. They don't want to talk about what they're doing. They don't want to talk about anything except nothing. Well, let's go on. That's why people won't come to the light, because there's something in their life that they know that they're doing is wrong. But the ones who see the light, look at the contrast here, verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, and here's why: lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth walks in the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. What a contrast. The people who are walking in the light and so forth are wanting to come to the light and to become a child of the light, right? They love to be around other people. They love to talk about the things that are right. And they're with, why? Because they want to see, other people to see that what they're doing is right. The only time we don't want anybody to look at us is when we're doing something that's wrong, isn't it? It's amazing. But this is the reason people don't come to the light, because their deeds are evil. But you know what Moses wrote in Numbers chapter 32? He says, be sure. What's the rest of the verse? Oh my goodness. We all know it, don't we? Be sure your sins will find you out. Now, it may take a little while before they're manifested, but I have seen this repeatedly in life and in the lives of other people that I've talked to and witnessed to, that sometimes it takes 5 years, sometimes it takes 10 years, but it's amazing how that it's exposed in a manner of time. It all comes to light. And the disadvantage is when the ones who are coming to the light and it's exposed, what do? They thank you, don't they? They thank you for exposing whatever it is that they need to be working on. But the ones that's trying to run from the light, what do? They pick up rocks and throw them at you, don't they? It's amazing how all this works together. But look at the attitude. We saw earlier that the attitude of being a bright light in Matthew chapter 5, at the conclusion of that Beatitudes, it's, look at what happens. It says there in Matthew 5:15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Isn't that what you want? A bright light. A bright light. Let's go on. Here's what Paul talks about us being a light. And if I think he's got a perfect description of the world, and you could go anywhere in the world and you'll see this brought out. Listen to what it says in Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing or complaining or griping or something like that, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now, does complaining and arguing and blaming everybody else and so forth, attacking everybody else, that's just a picture of what's going on in the world, isn't it? You know, I think it's amazing what we see today. All you have to do is watch the news and watch Channel 2, and it'll tell you about all the people, that's all the robberies, all the murders, all the things that's happened in Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and in this surrounding area. And then watch the 6:30 news, and you'll see the same things going on all over the world. I read something yesterday that if the number of murders that goes on in the United States, we're down almost two or three, something like that. It's incredible how high we are in murders in the world, our country, per capita. But if you eliminated five cities, guess where we would be? We would be almost at the bottom of the list of all of the countries in the world. We would be almost the lowest one on the list. Five cities. What are those five cities known as? Cities of darkness. But look at what he says. Let's go on. It's a perfect description, a crooked and a perverse generation. But if you'll take your light and let it shine, okay, in the midst of this perverse generation, you'll be a light, won't you? Paul says, you will shine in this world and you will be a bright light. Let's go on here. The believer has the responsibility to shine for others to see. Now, did God allow us to be saved, to come to Christ, so that it would be like a luxury liner cruise for the rest of our life here on earth? No. No, we're not on a $2.99 special trip where we can go cruise for a week and go all over the Caribbean, right? We're not on a pleasure cruise. God's got a purpose for each and every one of us, and that's to be a light, to be a bright light. And he uses some illustrations here, and you can see that the parable, the concept of the lamp is used several times in the Gospels. And it's interesting, when you look at the parable of the sower, it's not mentioned in in Matthew's Gospel, but it's found both in Luke and Mark's Gospel. It's showing how that the way you hear is going to be one of the volume controls on your lamp. But look at what a lamp does. Okay, let's say you're shining, right? And he's going to give us some things that it's going to create problems with the lamp. He says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place. How many of you at home take your flashlight and turn it on and hide it in a closet? You don't do it, do you? No, you may have a fully charged a flashlight, and you might keep it in a closet, but it's not turned on, is it? When you go to the closet and get it, you want it to work, right? And he says, nobody that's lit a lamp hides it in a secret place. Now, I think the concept that's being taught here is a believer who is a lamp, who has been made a child of light, takes his light, and what does he do with it? He tries to hide it in a closet. And when he tries to hide it in a closet, what's he really doing? He's running from the light, isn't he? And he doesn't want anyone else to see what he's doing that might be exposed. But let's go on here. You'll see three concepts here. You'll see a secret place, a basket. Okay, and if we go on down in Mark's account of the story, he mentions in verse 21 a bed. How many of you would take a lamp and turn it on and put it under your bed? Now, it might warm the bed up for a little bit, but what else would probably happen? The bed would catch on fire, wouldn't it? You know, I think there's the three concepts here, and I read this in several commentators' information about it. They say the secret place, that's hiding your lamp. The basket, and that speaks of working, right? You go out in the fields with your basket and you fill it up with the vegetables and whatever you need to survive on. And then, of course, the bed. That's, what do we do in the bed? We relax, don't we? And they take these three concepts. One is a secret place, hiding. Covering it up with work. I'm too busy to do anything. Or in a bed. I've got too many leisure things that I need to do. Right? It's amazing how this all works. But listen to what he says here in Mark's account of this same thing. He says, "And he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that shall not come to light. He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. If you snooze, you lose. If you don't use it, you lose it." That's the concept. The things you hear, the things that's going into your eye, that brilliancy, if you don't let that light keep getting brighter in hearing, applying it in your life, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. It's amazing how this principle works. But look at the last one, and I'm about out of time. I've got 2 minutes according to my clock. Here's what we need to be doing with our light. It says here, let your waist be girded, your lamps burning. In other words, we're looking for the Lord's return, aren't we? How do we want to be found when he gets here? Do we want to be found in a secret place? Do we want to be found under a basket? Do we want to be found in a bed? No, we want to be like those wise virgins, right? Who is waiting for the bridegroom to come. Look at what he says here in Luke 12. Waist girded, your lamps burning, and you yourselves like men who wait for their masters when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them to sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Lamps burning, right? Waiting. I want to be ready. You remember those Israelites on that Passover night? What were they supposed to do when they partook of the Passover meal? Loins girded, they were dressed, had their staff in their hands and shoes on their feet. They were partaking of the emblems, but what were they ready? They were ready for the time to go, boys. We're waiting for that trumpet to sound, right? Let's pray that it'll happen today. And we all need to be ready. And we want that light burning bright so that other people can see it. And maybe they'll come to you and say, you're a little light. I want to know about the big light. Would you share with me how I can know for certain that I can become a child of the light? And when you do that, you'll find that the Lord will bless you. I just want to share this one thing here. I've got laying on this center table here another outline that I put together. 8 things that create eye problems. And if you've got any one of these diseases in your eye, you'll find that you won't be a bright light. And I recommend you get one of these. And there's probably husbands, you get one for your wives, and wives, you get one for your husbands. And children, you get one for your parents, and parents, you get one for your kids. But it's amazing. Double vision, short-sightedness, blindness, and you'll see there's several issues of blind and what causes you to go blind so that you can't see the truth. If you want one, it'll be down front. Let's just thank the Lord that he was a bright light. When he came, he exposed all the different things that hinder us And he shared the information that we need to have in order to be a bright light in the midst of a perverse and a crooked generation. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he was the brightest light this world has ever known. And Father, we thank you that you allowed him to give us an invitation to come to the light and to become a child of the light, so that we could be like a light on a hill, that we could be seen, and that people would know there's a place that they could go to find a rescue for their soul. Father, we just ask you to help us now as we depart. We pray, Father, that these lights would just go out of this room and would be shining, and we would hear of people coming to the light. Father, we pray that you would use us as your children in the midst of a perverse and a crooked world. Help us to shine as bright lights. And we just thank you, Father, this morning for your word and how the entrance of your word gives light. And your Holy Spirit reveals that word that's within us to make us a bright light. And we just thank you this morning in our Savior's precious name. Amen.